Father, may our hearts at this time tune out any distractions from the world. May your Holy Spirit, which dwells in us, bring conviction. May it bring insight into maybe the lack of faith or trust that we have shown. And Lord, may as your people, may we leave different today. May the Word, which is powerful, bring about change in us for your glory. Let us be more faithful. Father, crush our doubts. We pray through Christ. Amen. Sunday mornings, I recognize, is a busy time for most people. It can be a stressful time trying to get people up, ready to church, especially if you have young children, and it is no different in the Laney household. This morning, when I get up in the morning, I usually get up at 5, sometimes 4:30, whatever, but I get up, I just want to try to review, I'm trying to just pray, see if there's anything that the Lord's laid on my heart from the night before while I slept. It never fails. When I get up early, so do my boys, and that time just seems to get eaten up, right? So this morning, we're sitting at the table, and we had two different types of Captain Crunch that were selected by our boys, and one of them, I won't mention his name, got very upset that he picked the wrong box and had the wrong bowl in front of him, threw a fit. Now, in my flesh, I took that bowl of cereal and I dumped it down the drain through the little disposal, right? Just didn't want to deal with him at that point. I had a lot of other things that were on my mind. And for me in that moment, it was just easier just to deal with the situation that way. Thankfully, Allison came in and said, no, he's not getting the other cereal because that just continues to teach him if he cries, he gets his way, right? But what the Lord showed me in that moment, I just thought as I dumped that cereal down, how blessed we are as a nation. How blessed our family is that we would take a bowl of cereal and just dump it down the maybe you wouldn't have done that, I'm just confessing my sin. We just dumped it. I thought to myself, how many kids around the world won't eat breakfast this morning? And here it is, our boys are griping because one didn't get Berry Captain Crunch. And it really caused me to think, and it was maybe a good example, in the fact that sometimes we feel like we're really limited. Our resources are limited. But if we stop and we step back, we recognize that we have far more than we can use, than we deserve. We don't always spend it wisely. We don't always use it wisely. But at the end of the day, when we consider ourselves compared to many of the nations of the world, we recognize that God has blessed us in a tremendous way. But there are times that we as adults, we feel like there's too much month at the end of the money, right? I mean, we just run out too early. And we're trying to figure out how we're going to get by over the next few days or weeks. And so our challenge this morning, as we continue to walk through Luke, and we're in Luke chapter 9, is to think again about the resources that God has given us. And instead of trying to see how much or how little we have, say, Lord, give me a heart that is faithful to just be good stewards and to trust you with what I have, rather than always wondering about why I don't have more than somebody else, or why I don't have more to deal with what I have. I would share this. The main idea we're looking at this morning is the Lord knows what we need and He provides. Our God is the providing God. And I want to challenge us this morning to think through that. Look over with me, if you will, at Luke chapter 9. It's going to be in verse 10. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you. You can also follow on the screens. Luke chapter 9. Beginning in verse 10. It says, on their return, the apostles told him all that they had done. And he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. And when the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them, and he spoke to them of the kingdom of God, and he cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came, and they said to him, send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and the countryside to find lodging and to get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we're to go and buy food for all these people. for there were about 5,000 men, and he said this to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And they did so and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. And then he broke the loaves and he gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. This morning, at the end of our message time, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. So what I want to do is just briefly walk through our story and then give a couple of applications for us to consider at the end. So if you want to follow along, there's some space in your bulletin. You can take notes if you so desire. So just note the setting. What's going on here? Well, the disciples, the apostles, have come back to Jesus. He sent them out. If you go back and read verses 1 through 6, Jesus sends them out on an evangelistic mission, a ministry, to go and to proclaim the good news is at hand. Jesus has come. Redemption is possible, right? He's telling them, wherever you go, to trust that God will provide for you, right? Don't take anything with you. Whenever you go to a house, if they're a God-fearing house, they'll provide for you. If not, move on to the next, right? So he'd already begun to teach them, the Lord will provide for your needs. And they were gone, and then eventually they come back, and they want to share. They want this time of decommission, right? Jesus is obviously excited. He wants these men to come around him and let them share what they've seen. So he says, let's go away for a little while. Let's just have some time where you can refocus. You can share what God has done. You can be encouraged. I can minister to you, right? For so many of us, especially in ministry, but even in your areas of where you work, it's easy just to go and go and go and never take time to refresh. And you think about it, the Sabbath, the day that God had given to be a day to set apart of refreshment, often is what? It's just absorbed like every other day. We work ourselves to death and we never have time of spiritual reflection and renewal. And he called them to this. Come aside. Let's have some time alone together. But this little spiritual retreat was cut short. Look what happens in verse 11. The crowds heard this. They heard that Jesus was in Bethsaida. And so they followed him. Now, what would you do at the end of a day when you're tired and you've been doing work? You get home and it's often what? At least in my situation, your kids haven't seen you all day, but the temptation is you just want to sit down and relax, trying to refocus. It's not what Jesus does, though. These people are coming out to him. It would have been easy to say, sorry, we're on a spiritual retreat. Don't have time for that right now. Come back in a few days. Come back tomorrow. We'll get to you. But right now was for me and my boys, right? That's not what he says. He allows them to come and he begins ministering to them because he recognizes throughout his ministry that they are like sheep without a shepherd. They're imprisoned by the evil one. They have all kinds of physical ailments and they've come out to be ministered to. And Jesus breaks away from what he was doing with his disciples and he begins ministering and he begins preaching and saying, look, I'm come to proclaim freedom to you that are captives. And this goes on throughout the day. But look at the situations the disciples find themselves in. Verse 12, the day began to wear on. And the 12 came to him and they said, send the crowd away to go to the surrounding villages and countryside, right? Lots of people have come out to see Jesus. As we're going to see in the text, over 5,000 people are out there. It's late in the day, and the disciples, they begin thinking to themselves, how are we going to care for these people? We don't have anything. We don't have resources to take care of them, and this isn't their natural home, so if they're going to have to go to the village, and these shops might close down, and there's not going to be enough places for them, if we continue to hold them out here, they're going to go hungry, they're going to starve, it's going to be a bad situation, right? So in the disciples' minds, they sense this struggle, this tension, they begin to worry about what's going on. And notice what they do. They sense the situation and they come to Jesus and they do what? Verse 12, he says, they say to him, Jesus, send the crowd away. They see there's a situation and so what they do is they come to Jesus and they tell him how to fix the situation. What should they have done? Maybe they should have come to Jesus and said, "Look, Jesus, here's our situation. What should we do?" But that's not what they did. "Jesus, here's the situation. Here's our solution. You do it." And we might miss this, but think how quickly the disciples are, not just here, but throughout the Gospels, to miss ministry opportunities. All the time, "Go away, don't come, don't let the children come to Jesus, go back to your own home, don't bother the teacher," right? And Jesus all the time is doing what? "No, let them come on to me." And I just wonder how often in our lives we miss opportunities to see Jesus move, to work, to have glory, because we see a situation. And instead of coming before Him and saying, "God, here's where I am, here's the need, what would you have me to do?" We do what? "Lord, here's the situation, here's what I've deduced as the answer, do it." Right? We do it in the church, we do it in our lives, right? "Here's what's going on in our family, Lord, here's what we want you to do, do it." You been there? Didn't ask Him, didn't seek His wisdom, His counsel, His direction in any way. And look how Jesus responds to them. Verse 13, "You give them something to eat." What did He just say to us? "We give them something to eat?" That seems pretty impossible. Lord, that's not practical. Look, there's 5,000 people at least. We don't have anything. We've got a little loaves. We've got a couple of fish. And you want us to feed all of these people? Lord, even if we had enough money and we went to the town, we couldn't do this. Doesn't Jesus know that already? Think about this. Even in the preceding verses in chapter 9, hadn't the apostles seen Jesus provide in amazing ways for them? Throughout the Gospels, haven't they seen Jesus do amazing things? And yet, here again, in a moment of crisis, in a moment of faith challenging, of our faith being challenged, they immediately doubt, they immediately fear, they immediately bind God, put Him in a box. "What are you talking about? There's no way we can do this." I just think to myself, how often we're like that, right? I mean, how many times has the Lord provided for us and our situations? And we do what? Another situation comes and we immediately say what? "Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I'm not going to get through. I don't know what you want me to do. How in the world is this going to happen? Are you crazy?" And all the while, He's just pushing us to say, "Really, I want you just to depend on me, to watch me, to trust me." So what does Jesus do? He gives them His instructions for what He desires. He says, "Go, tell these individuals to sit down." And in verse 15, they do so. They sit down. So Jesus, in verse 16, He takes the loaves and He takes the little fish and He lifts them up and He prays and He blesses them. And then something amazing happens. Over 5,000 people are fed. Can you imagine being there in that moment? I mean, Jesus just keeps breaking off bread, keeps pulling out fish. It just doesn't stop. If you're an apostle, what are you thinking in that moment? Right? I mean, but He's done it so many times already. He's done these things before. Here He is again. "Who is this man? He causes the waves to stop. He causes demons to be cast out. He heals the sick. He forgives sins. He does mighty miracles. Who is this man?" And what we're going to see in the verses that follow, we're going to be told, "Who is this man? You are the Messiah, the Son of God." But here again, showing He has all authority and all power over physical things, He takes the elements and He distributes them amazingly, sufficiently, for all who were there. There's a couple of interesting discussions that are going on regarding what exactly is happening here in the text. Some are saying, you know, all throughout the Old Testament, there's foreshadows of this, like, you know, in Genesis, an animal's killed so that they can be clothed, pointing forward to the killing of animals to cover over sin. Leviticus, the killing of animals, the shedding of blood to cover over sin, pointing forward to Jesus, the Lamb who was slain for our sins, right? Some are seeing in this story the reality that, doesn't Jesus say what? I'm the bread of life. So they see this little image here, and almost it's like Jesus is giving them a visible picture. I'm this bread that's going to be broken, and through my body, others are going to be fed. It's amazing, because that's what we're about to do here in a few moments, isn't it? Take this bread, break it, share with one another. There's others that see some images where the whole question that is being asked is, who is Jesus? And do you remember in the Old Testament, there's a couple of stories where the people of Israel are fed with bread? Remember with Moses, they're griping and complaining, you brought us out into the wilderness and we're going to die. We've just seen God do amazing miracles. He set us free from the hands of the Egyptians. He's caused all kinds of plagues. Oh yeah, we don't have anything to eat, Moses. And God in His grace provides manna every day, new, fresh, fulfilling grace upon grace to His people, right? And then with Elijah, there's 100 men in 2 Kings. And again, a situation where bread is used to feed these individuals and there's bread left over. And it's almost as if Jesus is intentionally doing this, saying, look, the prophet that was prophesied about in Deuteronomy that was to come, I am that prophet. If you know the Old Testament, these images should resonate with you. I have come. I am greater than Moses. I'm greater than Elijah. I am the one whom God has sent to bring redemption. I'm the promised Messiah. And the amazing thing is, in verse 17 is, look, they all ate and were what? They were satisfied. And yet there were still enough baskets that 12 of them were filled. Is it because there were 12 apostles? What's the image there with 12? Lots of things you can think about, but the important thing is there that this miracle was more than enough. It was more than sufficient. Jesus did something that provided way more than any expected. So much so that there was great leftovers for those who were there. As we said, our time is somewhat limited this morning. So let me see if I can just make four quick applications for those of us who are believers, and then maybe one application for others here this morning. I think this text, this story of Jesus feeding 5,000 reminds us of one, everything we have is from the Lord. Isn't it? You can think of passages that says every good and perfect gift is from what? From above. Everything we have is by His grace and for His glory. He has chosen, He has graciously chosen to give to His children grace upon grace. In Job, when all of these things are crashing down upon him, he says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when he means we have everything we have, it means everything. Our families are gifts from him. Our jobs are gifts from him. Our resources are gifts from him. The wealth that we have are gifts from him. And I know some people will think, well, no, it's not. I earned it. I did it. But I think over the last 5 or 6 years, we have recognized that when we trust in riches, our trust can be demolished because the Lord can give and the Lord can take away. Isn't that what Proverbs says? Some trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. For many, even many Christians in America, they trust in riches. They trust in their wealth rather than in the one who gives riches and wealth. Everything we have is from the Lord. Second application for us to take away is this. Often the Lord presents us with situations that give us opportunities to trust in Him rather than our circumstances. Right? Oftentimes the Lord puts us in situations where we have an opportunity to show faith, to show trust, or to look at our circumstances and say, God, our circumstances are too big for what You're asking us to do. We have a choice. We have this dilemma that's presented for us. And the more that we struggle in our circumstances, then in the all-sufficient, all-powerful God, the less likely it is we'll see Him move and work. I shared this on Wednesday night for some of you who were there. I'll share it again. I want you to hear this. I'm not boasting about me in any way. If anything, what I want you to hear is my selfish heart or the struggles that I have in not trusting in the Lord. That's what I want you to hear, okay? About a month ago, we had a guy who called here, needed money for his rent. As a church, we don't give money for rent. It wasn't a member, it was just somebody in the community, right? They needed help. But as I called him and I listened to his story, I could tell it was a believer, and he just had some difficult circumstances in his life, and he felt like, I just felt like the Lord was saying, you need to pay this $150. But for 2 hours, I sat in my office and I'm like, I'm not doing it. I don't know this person. I mean, Allison stays at home. It's not like we won the lottery. It's not like we have money just coming out our ears, right? And so you're thinking to yourself, we're on a limited budget. We only have so much, but that, it wouldn't go away. 2 hours I sat there in my office and couldn't do anything else because I just kept feeling like the Lord was saying, are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to look at your circumstances? So, I called him, I dealt with his little landlord, I gave her $150, right? But not with a joyous heart, just really struggling in those moments. I can do a lot of things with $150 more than giving it to somebody who I don't even know. Let me just tell you how the Lord works. Last week, two separate events happened, and they didn't know this story, they didn't know anything that happened. But I had begun wondering, is that guy going to pay me back? What's going to happen? Because he said, I'll pay you back when I get my paycheck, right? And I hadn't called him because I just didn't feel like the Lord wanted me to call him back. And there's this tension there. Last week, an individual came up and said, I just want to give you this. Just gave me a $100 bill. I was like, I didn't really think anything about it in connection here until Monday morning. Gina came in and said, Pastor, somebody put this in the offering and it said, Happy Birthday, Pastor. And it was $50. You know what's amazing about that? They're either really late or really early because my birthday's in February. But what happened last week is the Lord gave $150. That's not to boast on me in any way. I want you to see the struggle there. I saw circumstances more than I trusted in a God who is above circumstances. A God who is able to use others, to use resources. Everything is the Lord's, right? The cattle on 1,000 hills are His. He can stir up affections in people's hearts. He used me to provide for another. He used some of you to provide for me, right? He's a God who does those sorts of things. In our lives, so often, we focus on our circumstances rather than in the opportunity to allow the all-sufficient, powerful God to provide. A third application is this. The Lord knows what we need more than we even know what we need. Right? You think about Matthew chapter 6. He said, look, don't worry about what you're going to wear, where your food's going to come from. Look at the lilies. Look at the birds. The Lord takes care of them. How much more will He take care of you? You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things will be taken care of for you. Do we believe that? So when the Lord presents us with an opportunity and we look at our circumstances, it's not as if the Lord doesn't know our circumstances. He's probably brought us to that point with those circumstances because He wants to display His glory in our life. And fourth, the Lord can turn our little into enough or an abundant overflowing resources if we have faith. The Lord can use our limited resources that we feel like we have, and if we trust Him, He will multiply. You see it with the widow in the Old Testament where the oil doesn't run out. You see it here. The most amazing story is this, Exodus chapter 35. You can just turn over there, you can just write it down. I'm not going to read the chapters, but I just want you to hear. God, this is one of the most amazing stories in the Bible, and I don't know why churches don't, I don't know why they don't look at this more. God wants them to build a tabernacle for His glory. And all throughout chapter 35, you know what it does? Look at verse 20. Exodus chapter 35, verse 20. And all the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. So the Lord began stirring up in people's hearts to give, to build this tabernacle, to provide the resources for the ministries that need to be ongoing in the tabernacle. And the whole chapter talks about the giving of the people, so much so that look at chapter 36, Exodus 36, verse 5. This is what Moses said. The people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do. How often have you ever heard that? How often do you hear that? It's because we don't have faith, because we're not trusting, because we immediately think we have to go to the bank, we have to take loans, we have to do all these other things. And it seems like, at least in this chapter, the Lord is saying, look, I've called you to this. I've called you to faith. I'll provide. This is what I want you to do. There'll be resources to do this. I want to display my glory and my power. Not that you give credit to the bank, not that you give credit to yourself, but that you will be able to stand back and see, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. The Lord takes our little, our resources, and He can do abundant things, overflowing things, if we have faith and trust that He'll move work. What does that mean for our church? What does that mean in your life? What does that mean as you consider what you feel like the Lord is calling you to do? Maybe there's some of you here today who the Lord's challenging you to be more trusting, to quit looking at your circumstances, and instead you feel like the Lord is telling you to do, like to give or to respond, to act, to serve. It's not just like giving money, but it could be being involved in a ministry. It could be doing something else, using resources of time or skills. And yet you just seem like the situation is overwhelming. It may be overwhelming so that you will not boast in your own power, but in the power of Christ. And I just would share this with some of you here today. Some of you, the thing you lack most, the resource that you have the least of, what you need the most from God is spiritual life. You come here and you can hear about God providing, and I want you to hear this. The thing that you need most has already been provided for you, in that God sent His Son, Christ, to provide for where you are most deficient. You have a sin that is unatoned for. You're unable to make yourself right and holy before the holy God. And He says, yet because I'm merciful and gracious, I have sent my Son to die so that by believing in Him, you can have life. And some of you here today, you need to repent of your sins. You need to receive God's grace. You need to receive His abundant mercy that is found only in Christ, and say, God, I have been fighting against You for so long, but today I thank You for sending Christ to pay the debt I could not pay. I receive Him by faith, and Father, I pray that when I go into Your presence, You'll receive me not by any works that I've done, but by faith in Christ. Here in a moment, as a church, we're going to celebrate the Lord's death on our behalf and His resurrection and the promise that that gives us for our resurrection. But in a moment, as we just listen to "Great is Thy Faithfulness," I'm just going to ask you to reflect and say, "Lord, what are You speaking to me about today?" And if you want, you can come up here and pray with me. You can pray at the altar. There'll be some people around the sanctuary. You can pray with them as well. Maybe the Lord wants to do business with you today on this issue of lack of faith and trusting in God more than our circumstances. What does He want to do to your life today? Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful that You're not a God that's limited. All that is created is Yours. All the resources, all the wealth, all the things that we see as being limited, Lord, You are able to provide. So Lord, whether it's in our homes, whether it's in this church, whether it's just in our work or in life, Lord, areas where we see our circumstances overwhelming, Lord, help us to have a faith, to trust in You, that You are able to do, to provide, to bless far more abundantly than we can even ask or imagine. Lord, great indeed is Your faithfulness to Your children. Father, give us opportunities to prove that we love You and we're not serving money or anything else in this world. And Father, for those who don't know Christ, even now, move and work in their spirit, drawing them to faith, we pray, through Jesus' name. Amen.